You'll repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
This word is for me.
This word is for me.
And so I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the verse that I want you to kind of focus on is St. Paul saying to the Corinthians, and he's saying to the New England people, and to us, his opinion is on verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul Keith has been speaking on the unseen realm for quite a while. And his wife had an incredible dream. And it warmed my heart, because knowing who Jesus is from your head is one thing. Knowing what he's done for you on a personal basis is now knowledge by experience. There was a man in my life for many years who said, it's better felt than telt. That was Royal Cronquist, so. Better felt than telt. In other words, you can talk to me about it till the cows come home and it doesn't mean a darn thing.
Amen.
But if I've experienced an awareness and a closeness and a love flow, it changes something inside me.
Yes.
And creates a hunger for more.
Yes.
So I fix my eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. That's also part of your dream. The table you're at, that walk away, where are they focused? On the temporary, oh my God, we got no food here. The others in the other room have provided their own food and they took off with a tablecloth full. So their eyes are on the natural, what they can take with them. And if you remember, I've never been to a funeral where the Brinks truck is behind them. Because it doesn't work. The unseen is eternal. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mary Jo's been in that eternal realm now for how many days, Peggy?
Almost 50 days.
Almost 50 days.
Haven't counted, but.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, she had a glimpse of what that eternal would be like. And I'm sure that when she walked across the threshold of the door that was open for her, she probably said, hey, the victory is complete. Why? because her eyes had already had a glimpse of the other side. Verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The God of this age, not this earth. It's an age where the darkness is ruling the earth and blinded the minds of those that can't understand who and what you are. Because you're in irritation when you get close to them. Because you're now going to prod them by your presence that the unseen realm is real. And that the natural realm is temporary. And that provokes the mind to start thinking. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we know who Christ is. He's the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Notice, ourselves as Lord. No, Christ our Lord is the one that's the anointed one. Not ourselves. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Now I'm going to take a pause there for a moment. I listened to a short documentary. Not going to go into a lot of details, except that there was an interview about the holiest man of the Orthodox Church. And he's called, I believe the words are, Your highest eminence, or something of that nature. He's got a title that they address him, meaning he's got all the answers. Okay? And at one time, he lives in Constantinople, and the documentary was done because of the amount of Muslims are in the country. And there's only a few thousand Christians left in Turkey. And he is so I can't describe the words that I want to use, because he carries a presence of, I am the leader of millions, yet I live in poverty in a small chapel next to his home. His office is one pile of books and paperwork, etc., etc. And the interviewer is comparing him to the Roman pontiff. And he questions him. Now, if you saw the intensity of his royal robes when he's presenting a service of some form, he probably would put the Pope to shame, because the gold, the headgear, the garments, etc., the icons have no end, and they don't have statues, but they have icons. And as I'm listening to him, and I'm saying to the Lord, I don't feel like listening. Okay. And the Lord said, listen, and read between the lines. You see, he's got his eyes on the temporal. And his looks are anything but what you would say most of the priests under him would say, I want to wear that one of these days. And it motivates the hearts of the young because they showed some of the processions. Then they went one step further. They went to downtown Jerusalem, where they have all these churches, and obviously one major church, which I was with you in, where Moses Mountain, where he was shown the Holy Land, that particular church is taken care of by the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. They're all connected. And he's the highest eminence of all. And I thought to myself, I wonder if he's ever read the Word. You know, that was in my head. Wonder if he's ever read the Word about taking titles to this extreme. Okay? And I didn't hear a response, because you know darn well the Lord's not going to tattle on anybody. But that doesn't stop your brain from working, does it?
No.
Nope.
But I saw again, when we were in Israel, there was a Roman Catholic church, and it was a place where we visited. But then, almost like a duplex, is a wall that separates the Orthodox church. And they both claim to be representatives of Jesus Christ, right? Then our tour guide takes us down into the cellar, correct? And he said, there's a door between these two churches that only gets to open once a year. And of course, we looked at each other and, okay, we're ready. What's the occasion? When do they open? They only open it on Christmas. And they go from the Catholic side to the Orthodox side, and that's the only day they talk. I wonder if they've ever heard love one another. Are they focused? And I'm not trying to be critical now, because I lived in that place. Okay? What I'm saying is, what is the lesson today? When St. Paul is saying to them, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So we think they are believers. Are their minds blinded?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they believers?
Yes.
Oh. They have a religion, not a relationship. Their eyes are on the seen and not on the unseen. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but God, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Amen.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's what this body is, isn't it? A jar made out of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The surpassing power is not from us. It is from Him. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. perplexed, but not in despair, on fire, but didn't get burned, on fire, but didn't get burned, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. By the way, that was Kim's version. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So, there's a burning going on so that more of Jesus will show you that he's shining right through this. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. His life may be revealed. And without the fire, nobody's going to see that you're different. That your reactions are different. That your hope is not in what you see, but your hope is in the unseen. The unseen is the eternal part of you, which, by the way, he's house cleaning in. February, March. Constantly, the Lord would not let us go by telling us that he was going to house clean. He's going to take the broom and he's going to clean the inside, and you and I needed to clean up the outside. Then I hear Paul Keith's wife say, the Lord said he's going to wash my feet with fire and blood. Whoa! How many times have you had your feet washed? Just with simple water. Did you recognize that when you put in that effort to put your foot in that water, what are you doing? You're taking a chance to expose, number one, your feet, and then your walk. When your feet are clean, your whole body is clean. That was Jesus at the foot washing service. Thirteen. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence.
Amen. Woo! Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'll share another moment with you with my wife this week. Thursday's paper comes in, and of course she starts looking at all the obituaries. And I said, oh, can't stand looking at that. She says, oh, I know it doesn't interest you. I says, no. I said, but the next headlines I'm interested in. She says, what's that? I said, when they declare and they write an article about who rose from the dead today.
All right.
Oh, come on. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
let me look at the Springfield Daily News.
Let me look at the Springfield Daily News.
In 2020.
In 2020.
And it says,
and it says,
these have risen from the grave today.
These have risen from the grave today.
Can you see the headlines?
Can you see the headlines?
And you see a friend's name.
Can you see a friend's name?
That didn't fit at some table.
That didn't fit at some table.
Wow, what good news that would be.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Tomorrow's headlines. Excuse the expression, but it's a hell of a lot better than these dead papers that we look at.
Absolutely. Yes. Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
So when it's turning from the eternal side to the natural side, you're going to say, wow, I could never go back to those old newspapers.
That's right.
Why do you look at the obituaries? Mm-hmm. Why are you reading about the dead when you could be reading about the living?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And those who are about to rise.
Amen.
Wow. That's your future. Mm-hmm. 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Amen. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal.
Amen.
Amen.
What is unseen is the reason you've got a chair to sit on. Because if it wasn't for the unseen, nothing of this realm would be visible. Nothing that you touch, nothing that you feel, nothing that you experience would be a reality, because the unseen realm created what you are now enjoying.
Yes.
The word.
Amen.
The word of God.
So true.
Yeah. I want you to put your right hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let me see from the inside.
Let me see from the inside.
For a change.
For a change.
Let me look.
Let me look.
At what is real.
At what is real.
In the unseen realm.
In the unseen realm.
Because I'm filled.
Because I'm filled.
By the same Holy Ghost.
By the same Holy Ghost.
That most people can't see.
Most people can't see.
But I've tasted.
But I've tasted.
And I want more.
And I want more.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.